Today's scripture comes from Luke 24, 1 through 12.
Okay, baby. Okay.
On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. The word of God for the people of God.
Well, it is so good to see everyone. It is just a delight to see a sanctuary full of happy, smiling faces and to see all of you online. I don't know how I can see you, but yet I sense your presence. So welcome. It is good to see everyone. Let's just try this again. Christ is risen. You have it down. Would you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, I am so excited. Honestly, it's Easter. Christ is risen. We have come to celebrate. All these people are here. And I pray now that you would take the words that I have prepared and make them yours so that somehow we can take in this message of power and of energy and that Christ is risen and go into the world and make it known to all people. And this I pray in your grace, in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, I want to tell you about my brother and sister-in-law. They live in Montana, and they live, even in Montana, they live in a remote area. And trust me, there's a lot of remote areas in Montana. And they live in a place where you drive up, you go off the main road, you drive up a dirt road, then you turn, you go either way. There's about six houses there. And that's where they live. They live literally at the foot of a mountain. And one time, a couple of years ago in the spring, a bear started to visit them. Not terribly unusual because they live in the wilds of Montana. But this bear was drawn in by the ripe fruit on one of their neighbor's fruit trees. And apparently this bear was like, "I definitely want to have some of that fruit." And so the bear would come in, take the fruit. They would find remnants of the fruit. And they would even see the bear from time to time. So then the bear would leave. But then over time, the bear, as bears and people can be, was getting a little bit greedy. And so the bear thought, if this house has fruit trees, maybe this one does and this one does. So the bear kept coming closer and closer to the homes. And you probably know this, you don't want bears to get too used to people, for obvious reasons. And so they did what needed to be done, and they called the authorities. The authorities came, and they removed the bear, and they took it to a safe location, even a more remote location, so the bear was safe. The neighbors all rejoiced. Everyone was safe. This is all such a good thing. Until about a week later, my sister-in-law, who is a retired national park ranger, that's important, she hears something at night. She hears a dog barking, and she goes outside, and she takes her big flashlight. She kind of looks around. She can't see anything because it's very, very dark. And she shines it on the dog over there, and the dog is like, the dog is barking, as dogs do, in a safe, secure enclosure, I would like to name for all the people that are thinking that through. The dog is barking over there. She sees the dog, but the dog's not looking at her. The dog is looking past her. And she thinks, maybe I'll pick up a few stones and throw it at what she thinks might be a coyote. She takes the flashlight, she swings it around, and not 15 feet from her, standing by their small pond, is a 250-pound, 5-foot, 8-foot grizzly bear. Like a grizzly bear is just standing there looking at her, and she does what she has trained countless people not to do. She screams, drops her flashlight, and runs in the house. I don't blame her. She gets inside, and she leans against it, and she thinks, oh my goodness, they had moved the wrong bear. They removed the small, easily tricked bear, and they had left the larger bear behind. On Easter morning, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Romans, they thought the danger was gone. They thought everything was safe, everything was going to be back to the status quo, because they saw Jesus as this small little bear who really wasn't that dangerous, but was who was stirring things up, and they wanted to get rid of him. They saw Jesus as just another in a long line of people pretending to be the Messiah, pretending to be a prophet, going around preaching and teaching and stirring things up. They thought what Jesus had was this beautiful silver tongue that could stir up the people and get them going. And the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they didn't like that. It was disrupting their way of life. And they were worried. So they thought, here's what we'll do. We'll move the bear. What the authorities could not grasp was the enormity of Jesus' presence. They thought they understood the problem, but the truth is, they underestimated Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I want a grizzly bear of a God, and you may be thinking, Barbara, a grizzly bear of a God, grizzly bears have fangs and their claws, and they're going to eat you, right? Isn't that what we hear about? But here's what I want you to think about. Bear, fierce, protective, powerful. Strong. Think about how many times we say, oh, that was her mama bear coming out. When children are afraid or anxious, when they're worried, that's when your mama bear comes out and you stand up and you will protect them. And it doesn't have to be a mama bear. It can be a papa bear. It can be any parent who loves their children. They're going to protect their children. They're going to stand behind them, and they're going to be powerful and fierce, and nothing is going to harm the children. Sometimes in my life, I've experienced Jesus as a grizzly bear who is for me, who wants to use his power in my life to do a good thing. I've experienced Jesus as this powerful bear behind me when I wrestled with depression and I didn't know what to do, and there was Jesus behind me. I've experienced Jesus as this powerful bear when my family was having just a really hard time and I thought, we can't do this. And Jesus was like, I got you. Sometimes that's what we need, this strong and powerful being that is behind us. And that's the power of the resurrection. That's why you're all here this morning. Because you sense, you know that somewhere in this empty cross is power that is unbelievable, power that brings energy, this power of resurrection that brings confidence. And with the confidence of the empty cross comes this energy of hope. That's what you feel when you sing that song. It's the energy of hope that starts to stir around us and starts to weave its way through the congregation and through the people. Hope is such a beautiful thing. Hope lifts us up. But hope was in very short supply in first century Palestine. The Gospel of Luke really highlights the tension between the religious leaders and Jerusalem. There was just so much tension there. The religious leaders, they didn't carry hope. They lived in a small gray world. And the truth is, they were afraid. They were afraid Jesus was going to upset the status quo. He was disrupting their safe, predictable way of life. And living with the Romans was not easy. They were an oppressive people. But the religious leaders thought they had it figured out. Don't stir things up. Don't make a big scene. don't get hope up in the people because they might mess things up. They've been trying to tame Jesus for 3 years, trying to get him to conform to their way of thinking, but Jesus would not be tamed. And finally, their fear overtook them. They couldn't see any other way out, and so they removed the bear. And now it's Easter morning, and the religious leaders wake up. Think about this. Think about the contrast of the people waking up on Easter morning. You have the religious leaders, and they wake up, and they're thinking, it's over. We're safe now. Things can go back to the status quo. And the Romans wake up, and they go, well, that was just another day in the life of what it means to be in Rome. But the disciples, the people that follow Jesus, they wake up and they're filled again with fresh grief and fresh sadness. And they have no energy. And they have no hope. And the women finally say, you know what, let's go ahead and go to the tomb. Let's go do what we're supposed to do. Let's follow the routine of what is normative for us right now. And so the women creep out in the early dawn and they go to the tomb and they're traumatized by what has happened and they're full of fear and they don't know what they're going to meet. Are the guards going to be there and cause a stink? Is the stone, what about the stone, this giant stone? What will we do with the stone? And they arrive and the stone has been rolled away. And they don't know what to do. But they gather a little bit of courage and they look inside the tomb and it's empty. And this is what happens. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, I do not blame the women for this. In their fright, they bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, would you read this with me? Why do you look for the living among the dead? Why do you look for the living among the dead? They were terrified. Another way to ask the question is, what are you afraid of? What do you do when you're afraid? Sometimes we're the people that drop the flashlight and run away. Sometimes we're the people who run screaming from the room. Sometimes we attack the things that frighten us. Sometimes we drop to the ground and cower. The question must have felt odd to the women. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Asked another way, as I said, it's what are you afraid of? Because the truth is, we are all afraid of something. If you turn to Dr. Google, she will help you with this. Let me ask you, at home you can shout it out, but I won't hear you. But maybe it'll be the same as in here. What are you afraid of? What do you think the top 10 things people are afraid of today in the world? Just yell it out. Losing their phone. Thank you for that. That was not on the list, and yet it should be. Heights. They're afraid of heights. They're afraid of spiders. Snakes. That's mine. Public speaking. Not mine, but yes, many people are afraid of public speaking. There are so many things that people are afraid of. You have named them all, I think. Let me read you the list I found in Dr. Google. Oh, you missed one. At least I didn't hear it. Public speaking, heights, snakes, going to the dentist, closed spaces, spiders, and flying. Those are the ones we admit to. Those are the ones we can kind of joke about, right? But there are other fears we don't like to name out loud. We hesitate to say it. They are deeper and scarier. Things like losing a job, making a parenting mistake, being alone, watching a loved one walk away. There is fear in that. And the women at the tomb that first Easter are fearful. But listen, when you carry those fears, I want you to look at this and see what helped the women. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Read this with me. Then they remembered his words. And when they remembered his words, suddenly they are no longer afraid. Suddenly they experience the power of the resurrection, and they are filled with this energy of hope that comes from confidence and boldness and trusting that the God is really God. Hope, just the word of it, lightens the room. It brings an image of color and sunshine and peace and joy. Hope is energy that is built on the deep, deep love of Christ. Hope reminds me that I worship a God of formidable presence. Hope is what caused the women to rise to their feet and run to tell the other disciples that Christ has risen. Hope reminds us that we do not worship a tame God. We worship a God of boldness and fierceness and power and strength. Hope sends the women running back to tell the other disciples Christ is not there. Christ has risen because they remembered. Friends, I hope you can remember, not just today, but every day, that Christ is risen. I hope you can remember. I hope you can be like the little bear who stands up on its hind legs and growls at the mountain lion, and the mountain lion runs away in terror, and the little bear thinks, I am something, and then turns around and sees its mother behind him doing this. God is always behind you. With power and boldness and confidence. And when you remember that, you can grab hold of the energy of hope and go out into the world and make a difference. Look at what happened to the disciples. I'm going to take you just a minute from the resurrection all the way into the book of Acts, which follows this book. And here's what happens, just a little glimpse of it, because the transformation is remarkable, what happened to these disciples, the men and the women. They are fearful, they are afraid. The seed is planted when the women jump up and they go running back and they say, really, he's not there, he has risen. The disciples don't believe it for some time. It takes them a while to come around, and then they get it. And they are filled with power, and they can do things they never dreamed they could possibly do. There is a scene in the book of Acts, and Peter and John, two disciples, are walking into the temple. There is a man on the floor who is lying there, and he is begging, can he have some money, please? And Peter looks at him, and with the confidence of the risen Christ, says this, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Peter says that. Peter, the man who ran away from Jesus when he was arrested. Peter, the man who denied him three times. Peter, the man who tried to walk on water but couldn't quite do it. Peter, who couldn't quite grasp who Jesus was when Jesus was on earth, grabbed the power of the resurrection, the power of hope, and goes into the world with confidence and changes people's lives. And my question for you this morning is, whose life can you change? Whose life do you know that needs a word of hope spoken into it? The energy of hope brought into their lives. Who do you know who needs that? And maybe it's you. Maybe it's you. Maybe this morning you're thinking, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know how to carry this energy. I don't know what this is. I want you to remember. I want you to know that we worship a God who was not just resuscitated, but who was risen from the dead. And we have an empty cross and an empty tomb. And you have standing behind you, beside you, within you, and around you, the risen Christ with power and boldness. This God who is fierce and not tame, who will take you places you never dreamed you could go. Isn't it funny? Isn't it funny that we are small people, often fearful people, but when we stand with the power of Christ, we become fierce and protective and powerful. This is what I want to take with you today. This is what I want you to take to the people that you meet. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Amen.